The opinions and statements in this podcast are not those of Hometown Media. Adult language is possible. This episode of We Told You So, Just Saying, with Stephen Kirk is brought to you by Stillwater Metal.
Stillwater Metal, located on Highway 68 south of Kenton, is a locally owned manufacturer of metal paneling and trim for all roofing and siding projects. Locally owned and operated, visit Stillwater Metal when you start a new building or project.
The opinions and statements in this podcast are not those of Hometown Media. Adult language is possible. And now, time for another episode of We Told You So, Just Saying. And now your hosts, Kirk Shepard and Steve McCullough.
Welcome to another episode of Told You So, Just Saying with Kirk and Steve. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good looking. This is a fine Monday morning, and I am just tickled to be here.
Glad to have you.
With, I don't know, this old dude over here in the other chair, Mr. Kurt. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Steve. Morning, Jen.
Morning.
Old dude, just because, yeah, my hair has caught up with yours. It's about as white.
Well, you know, we're close. You know, we're within 20 years.
Not quite that much. Can we be curmudgeon together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Whatever that.
I don't even know what that word is.
That's a pretty big word for you, Kurt.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I know. There's three syllables in that there, wasn't it?
All right. Let's get down to business.
Yes. Down to business. Okay. Right out of the gate. Our last episode, we discussed the AD.
In Kenton.
Correct. Here in Kenton. And we only discussed what we had read and what we kind of heard. So we were wrong.
We were wrong when it came to the wages. What we read was he got an increase. He did not. He got a decrease in pay. And so we wanted to correct that.
And I understand why the board elected to keep him on, because as an employer, past employer, and a present employer such as myself, that when you have a very, very loyal employee, you find something for them to do.
Hello.
I feel like it's Christmas.
Somebody wants to be a guest.
I'm going to get a present.
You know, we need sounds on this, so yeah. You know, we just throw them in there.
Yeah, we do. So, when you have a very loyal employee that, you know, in this case, you know, bleeds red and white, you find something for them to do.
Absolutely. And we are, I guess you could say, apologizing for screwing up on our information.
Yep, a little bit of egg on our face.
And okay. We've heard they've hired a new one, and we congratulate the new person. And we wish the past AD, the new AD, and the superintendent who has decided to stay with us.
Oh, that was fantastic news.
I am tickled plumb to death. So we wish them all good luck, and we're going to carry on a different subject, which is going to be local traffic.
Local traffic. That's always a fun subject. And here we're into round two. Where's our bell?
We need the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
You know, round two, folks, for a cluster in Kenton. And it's all for a good cause.
Everything is being done is stuff that needed to be done. We're not complaining about that because, you know, the administration, which we're going to get off beat here a little bit, but the leaders of this city, they don't get compensated that much. So, you know, there's a lot of volunteers and a lot of time that you know, they're putting in on their own,
especially our mayor.
Yeah.
And Steve, I just, you, when you know what the mayor gets paid and the amount of time that she puts in, and We'll just say it because she gets paid $12,000 a year.
Yeah.
And she puts up with a lot of shit for $12,000 a year.
Absolutely.
And works 7 days a week.
Or more.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it needed it, or more. I can't say enough about how good of a mayor we have, because she very well cares.
Agreed.
Absolutely. And no, we appreciate the mayor very much. But now the traffic, which she really has no control over much.
Nope, none.
That's all controlled by the state. And I wish the main man out there would try and drive through town and follow his own signs, because you can't, because there is no signs. And this morning coming in, and I seen one yesterday. I'm coming in 309 going west at the light there at the Liberty Bank, Middlefield Bank. There's a truck wanting to turn left on 31, and you can't turn left. You can't go south. So what does he do? Well, I kind of watch in the mirror, and the two I seen just keep going straight, which, you know, if they got a GPS, they ain't going out to 175 and around. But normally they'll just cut down city streets.
That they
and
will.
Then get in worse trouble because you got it blocked off for four or five blocks south. So, but there is no sign. Yeah, there is a sign coming in 309, about 31. You put that sign out in the middle of the street so the guys can see it, you know, because they're not going to read off to the side when they're coming. They know where they're going to turn. GPS says tell them to turn in the second block. No. And they've got their gates up where you can't turn, but there's no sign that says which way should you go.
Well, I tell you, Steve, we have a problem because we have five state routes coming together.
Yes, we do.
And that just creates so many signs, and you read so many signs, and maybe you can't read fast enough to understand, or you're not from here. You are really relying on your GPS. And, yeah, it's just a matter of retraining. And it's mostly trucks, because when you're in a car, it doesn't matter. You can go wherever you want and nobody really cares one way or another. It's always about the trucks. And it's just difficult. It really is. Little Miss GPS, Little Miss can't be wrong, doesn't know that there's construction going on. And like I said, there's so many signs that they can't read them all. Just like the sign in the middle of the street here on 67 and 68 East.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm coming north on 68 and I want to take 67 East and I have a truck, I can't make that turn if there's traffic there.
No.
Because there's a sign in the middle of the way. It says road closed. And I did ask the mayor, you know, why? And she said, it's to keep trucks coming south from following their GPS and making that left turn there. So go over to 31 and make that right turn, just to say, oh, shucks. What do I do now?
But that traffic from Jumpin' Jim's to the community bank ought to be cut off totally. I mean, no traffic. I mean, no trucks, no cars, no pickups.
Oh, they've got it blocked off pretty well.
I mean, you block it off totally at Jumpin' Jim's at the railroad out there. You make everybody go down Fairground Road.
Oh, not even a car comes by.
A car, no. Oh. And I said something.
Radical.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a car, you can go down and get on Steiner and go where you want to go. You know, no big deal. But a truck, and she says, well, we need to keep that open for BKP, the emergency service and fire. I said, you can build them gates so they can get through or something.
Southbound can.
But you take and block all all traffic. No traffic at all gets up through there. Because if you've got a car get through there, a semi's going to figure out how to get up through there sooner or later.
Oh, they'll pull the barricades out of the way.
They'll pull them out of the way and drive over them.
We've seen it happen last year.
Yes, we did.
Absolutely. Pulled them out of the way and drove into the heavy construction.
Yeah.
Right here on 68. I was like, you can't be serious.
No,
And I know I had a discussion with Judge Tudor earlier last week, and we were just talking about, you know, especially the truck drivers, they would get cited, and they're all moving violations. And hey, the city got rich. I won't say they got rich, but the city got a good amount of cash, especially from the truck drivers that would call. They would talk to Judge Tudor was the prosecutor at that time, and say, hey, however you want to make this happen, that it's not a moving violation, I'll pay whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want that moving violation on my CDL.
And right.
I understand that.
Absolutely.
I do. So he said, okay, we'll make it this, and it'll be the maximum fine. And it's like, you know, $250 plus cost.
Mm-hmm.
So they're writing a check for probably $350.
Yeah.
Right there in that neighborhood. So, yeah, I mean, the city got a good amount of coin, and good for them. Because some of it was just blatant stupidity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was. But you know, again, you know, coming north on 31, and they've got the no left-hand turn at 309 and 31 there at Middlefield.
Absolutely.
There's sign up by the stoplight that says no left-hand turn, but you can go all the way to Mount Victory and not find the first sign that says to get on 309 West, you need to make a left-hand turn at Fairground Road and take it to 68 and come north and then make of 309 West.
None.
No signage for 309 West at all.
And I've seen many, many trucks and followed by cars turn left because they're going 309. And
hell, I do it in my pickup.
Oh, I do too. You know.
We're just being civilly disobedient.
That's all. Just because.
I'm not breaking the law. Civilly disobedient.
That's all. Just because that's a stupid sign. You know, come on.
Oh, here's your sign.
Here's your sign. Is right. Absolutely.
Here's your sign. So.
You know, I'm going to go two blocks and turn left and then turn left again. And then come back down two blocks and turn right, which is really, really tight turn to the right there.
Yes, it is.
On 68 and 309.
Yes, it is.
If you've got traffic, you're going to sit there and back them up till they get out of the road so you can make that turn to the right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got places for traffic to go, but your signage is terrible. You can't have too many signs.
Is that on the city or is that on the county?
That's on the state.
State, okay. Yeah. That's a question.
But, hey, the signage was terrible last year, and you know we don't like change around here, so why change it and make it right now?
Several years ago, on Fairground Road and 68, which you and I know so well, they were missing the sign to go down Fairground Road, and of course they were going down and turning around in your driveway or my driveway. So I called the state and I said, ain't you got a bigger sign to set down here? So they did. They put a bigger gate and a sign down there so the guys didn't blow by. They turned, but no, they burnt our driveways up turning around.
Yeah, they did, but I tell you, the largest act of stupidity I've ever seen in my life is when the truck drove straight into the grass.
Oh, yeah.
Off of Fairground Road. Yeah. And he said, well, my GPS said there is a road there. And I didn't know roads were green. You know?
Well, originally, when I bought that property, there was a driveway there. There was never a road because that's the old original driveway. Into Benny's Junkyard.
Benny's Junkyard, yes.
So
we're way back machine now, folks.
Yeah, we're going back a ways. But because I hauled dirt from the shop over there, or Phil, and went in that driveway. So, but I moved the driveway down across from yours, so I said that way, if one of us has got to have something long getting in and out, we can drive straight across and back in.
It made sense.
And so it works good for both of us. So, but anyway, no, he drove right straight.
I mean, he buried it to the hub. To the hub. That's the largest act of stupidity I've seen in a long time. But, hey, we're on the subject of trucks, and we did not discuss this prior to going on the air. But you've had quite a few trucks, and you're into pulling trucks in a big way, and have for a while.
Yes.
Is it a Dodge, a Ford, Chevy?
It's a Dodge chassis with a Cummins engine, and the other one is a it's a fabricated chassis with a Cummins engine and three turbos.
Okay, but what's your body? The body.
Dodge. Dodge on one and a GMC on the other.
And a GMC on the other.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I know you like being unique.
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes you like, look at me.
Yeah.
How about a Hummer?
That could go so many ways at this point.
You know I can't say what I want to say on air. I know exactly where that come from and who that come from. Mr. JL himself.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. Yeah. He started on me probably 25 years or 30 years ago. And anytime I hear it, I know exactly where it come from.
But, Steve.
It's cool.
It's cool.
I know.
Who doesn't like a Hummer?
Well, we ain't going to argue that point. No way are we going to argue that.
Well, no.
But
Hummers are cool.
But that gentleman just lives about a mile down the road, and, you know, he can help me build it, which I'm sure he would.
I'm sure Mr. JL would love to help you build that and maybe put his name on a quarter panel.
Exactly. And usually when we're not on the air and somebody says that, I usually have some very choice words for it, but I'll be polite this morning.
It is Monday,
and I'll be polite. So, yeah, that's a great idea, Kurt.
Hey, just remember.
Just saying, one. Yeah, I know.
Everybody loves a Hummer.
Yeah, We're in.
Okay, we're in.
We're in.
Couldn't resist it. It was the appropriate time.
Yes, it was.
It was a great segue to bring that up.
Oh, man.
You see, now we've totally lost what we were going to talk about.
We have nothing to follow up with that.
I'm totally blank on that one. Totally blank, you know.
Well, what would you put under the hood of that Hummer?
It would probably be a Cummins.
You're like a Duramax?
Tell you what, I know a good friend of mine that's building a Duramax. He don't live too far from here. You know him too.
Okay.
And I've got some friends up in Minnesota that have built some serious Duramaxes. It takes a lot of time. You got to have a lot of research and a lot of knowledge where a Cummins, all the parts are more readily available. All right. I just built a common rail this year, which is all computer controlled. And everybody else is running mechanical, which I ran for years and years and years. And so I'm kind of interested on this computer, so what I can program and tell that motor to do. So I just sit there and steer it, and it kind of drives itself. So. We'll see what happens.
You know, pulling a four-wheel drive truck, there's nothing great about that. There's no skill involved. You just mash the gas pedal and go.
All the skill is setting it up and reading the track because...
Yeah. You don't have to touch the brakes to go right or left or anything like that.
No, but after 35 years of going around in circles and reading dirt, you know, they don't see that brown spot in the dirt. They don't see that slick spot. They don't watch where the rollers went the last 10 times, and nobody's run on it. It's just stuff like that you pick up from going around in circles all them years. So.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm a little goofy anyway, so it don't make any difference.
You just brought something up that I've just heard about here recently, but going around on dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be opened up this year.
The 3rd is the opening night, which is next Saturday night. This kid has spent, I just seen it this morning, over $5 million on this place.
And Mansfield, the raceway goes way back.
It goes. I got a lot of laps around that racetrack. Fact, I seen Sky one night on that racetrack.
Dirt track.
Yeah, dirt track. And it is a neat place, easy to get to. Just take 30 over and take 13 north. Go by the prison, and it's up there on your right, past the Harley dealer. And this guy has come in, and this thing is awesome. In fact, we got a tractor pull over July 4th. And once he gets out and gets established, he's going to be something. It's going to be an establishment you want to go to. He's redone the grandstands, made them nice. He's done poured all new concrete walls. New catch fence. I don't know how many hundreds of loads of dirt he hauled in on a racetrack. Good dirt, good clay. It's painted all. It's
He's got a lot of.
If you go up on the website,
a lot of coin involved in that.
Search and look before and after. I just noticed this morning he had a thing on Facebook. Say he spent over $5 million.
Oh, it's been closed and dilapidated for so long. It was basically.
It was falling down
new from the ground up.
It was falling down. The last guy that had it for a couple of years, I mean, it was a good racetrack, but, you know, we raced on it for many years. I remember going over, hobby stalker in the early 70s racing, coming back and going to Spanky's and having a couple of cocktails.
You going to maybe get the itch to maybe take the goat, get the goat out, go over there and just because?
Drive around?
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what happened, you know. I got to get some of them old moldy things and set them in my shop out and drive them around. You know, they're getting dusty, so.
If you don't drive them, why have them?
That's fact. I got one going to Indianapolis to my daughter. She found me a truck to rebuild, and I didn't have time. I said, I got a nice little Falcon convertible that my big body don't fit in anymore. I said, why don't you just take it?
So the Falcon is going to be leaving Hardin County. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice car, too. So, all right, enough about things that horsepower that goes underneath. Let's kind of get back to the downtown and the people that are working to make downtown look better. What do they call it?
Revitalize downtown Kenton.
I should not have forgotten that. They did some work this weekend or this last weekend.
I'm gonna give them kudos because they redid the bank by the movie theater. They redid that and then I seen all around the square, every alley, there was a person with a hand sprayer spraying weeds, picking up garbage, around, just cleaning up.
And that was a great place to start.
It was. I mean, they did a wonderful job. It looks good. And with all the weeds sprayed in the alleys and stuff. But you've got, they want to rebuild downtown like our neighbor to the south, Bell Fountain, is doing. Of course, Finley's been in pretty good shape for years. Lima's done a whale of a job. Of course, they just build big buildings. They don't.
And, right. I mean, I was so disappointed that my favorite men's clothier was totally gone.
Yeah.
That Hofeller, Hyatt, and Clark.
The Urbana has done a good job with downtown.
They have.
They've got a lot of antique stores, but still, they've got a lot of, there's a restaurant. Two restaurants, coffee shops. They got a lot of little stuff, which we got too. But here's the deal. You got on one side of the square, the owners are redoing the buildings, making them look good. And you got another side of the square, you got owners that don't give a hoot because they just sit there and keep getting uglier every day. And on the other side of the square, you got pretty much trying to fix them up and have a renter and leaves and in and out and in and out. But to me, until we get parking squared around where you got parking, if you can't have people come into your store and have parking close, you're not going to get customers. So why have a store? That's the answer I get a lot of times. And, there's a lot of truth to that. What do you think?
There is a lot of truth to that. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to get out of your car and walk a few steps,
whoa,
too.
Whoa, 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 back up.
Oh, sorry, Jen.
You expect people to walk a block?
I know I'd much rather drive that block and then drive around the block several times until I find an open spot that's right in front of the door.
My mom would do that when she'd go to the hairdresser. She would drive around until that end spot come open so she could park in there. Yeah.
Bless her heart.
You know.
I think people forget that downtown there's two parking lots. All within a block.
All within
walking distance.
Short walking distance.
Yeah.
We just talked about the one there at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one...
By Twirl.
And then you've got the one on the south side of Middlefield.
Yeah. There's three, actually.
Now, I think my suggestion is that the parking lot or whatever I have, a stone lot... where surplus was at, the city should buy that and the county together and make that a paid parking lot for all the employees that work at the courthouse, because that way...
That would free up a boatload.
I would free a lot. Plus, you know, you walk across the street or cattywampus, and they could have guaranteed parking spots every day, and it's the shortest walk you're going to get. So, anyhow... to the mayor and to the city council, think about that. And, you know, that would make a beautiful parking lot. Guaranteed.
You want to make it a lot or you want to make it a garage?
Well, it just depends on how much money you want to spend. I don't care. Yeah, you could deck it and make it two. You can make two layers out of it if you wanted to.
Well, I think you're probably going to need at least two or three decks.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah, sure. I was trying to do it economically. But
I understand that, but. It just wouldn't be enough if you want to take the city and the county. I know the city's got the one underneath their building.
Right.
But that won't take care of all of them. And then, because they all park either at Twirl or behind Middlefield.
Yeah, one or the other.
So if you really want our downtown to be revitalized and doing well in Shoppers, then... Yeah, if you could open up, you know, one of those, two of those lots that, with plenty of parking.
Because that lot's just going to sit there and do nothing. I mean,
that's a fact.
There is nobody going to move on it. I see somebody's cleaning up the old drugstore down there.
Yeah, I heard that sold.
It sold to an investor out of Columbus, and he basically kind of flips them. Comes in, buys them. His sons have a construction company, so they go in, fix everything up, and then they lease them back out or sell them, is what I was told.
Cool.
Will they put video booths in there for us?
I'll tell you what. But we can't got no truck parking, man. We got to have truck parking.
It's true.
Can't always back to the truck parking.
You can't have
always
lions
going back
den
to parking.
Without truck parking. Come on.
Always going back to parking.
Okay. All right, well, then I guess that brings the Morton property on 31 in, and we could use the truck shop.
We can have a drive-through. We can have a drive-through Lion's Den, man. You don't even have to get out of your truck. Just pull in.
This conversation just went to hell in a handbasket.
You think? Self-service,
you know, part of this
drive-through.
Part of this may get whacked when they start listening to us. But.
If nothing else, we're entertaining.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. But no, that'd be cool. But no, it looks nice. They're painting it up. And as long as they don't price themselves out of reach, you know, they keep wanting
True.
A butcher shop in town, that'd be perfect place for a...
I've stumped for that for a while, but I don't think you can just get anybody. And, you know, they say, well, Kirk, Steve, won't you put it in? It's just not in our wheelhouse.
That don't fit. That means
it,
work.
It's not what we do.
No.
It's not, but, you know, for someone that is what they do, I think it's a superb location.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an excellent location.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
It truly is. To have... And I'm thinking of a store like they've got down in Raymond. You know,
yeah.
A small store that has, some staples that you need, mm-hmm. More than one flavor of tuna helper, and lots of meat in the back.
Yeah, a good solid meat store.
Good solid meat store, and they have fantastic meat down there. And if ever you've been to Waldo and gotten their bologna sandwiches.
G&R.
Oh, yeah, look at you moan.
G&R, I have the best bologna ever.
Well, you know, you can go down.
You know what? Cream pies almost beat the bologna.
Amen. Amen.
That's true. But you can go to Raymond and get that bologna and cut it and fry it yourself. Or is it just not the same?
It's not the same if I have to do it myself. Not going to lie.
I get bologna out of Hopscotch, Indiana. It's a meat store just about like Raymond. Family owned. And my daughter lives about 3 miles down the road. So whenever I need stuff, she'll freeze it up and ship it to me.
Gosh, it almost sounds like a Amish place. Hopscotch.
Just north of Evansville. If he's a racer, you know where that's at because there's a racetrack right there. Well, but anyway. Vincennes is right on 41.
All right. Well, I'm not in the mood for a watermelon yet.
Yeah. Well, that's where they come from.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. They grow a whole bunch of them there. There was just something else that I was going to bring up.
We know you're old and feeble and your mind is pretty empty sometimes.
Well, another one. We won't go into depth on it, but since our last podcast, tornado hit the fairgrounds and did some serious damage. And because I think we had mentioned that next year, I think not after this fair, after this fair, we had discussed, okay.
The two new buildings going up.
Two new buildings are going to go up, and obviously that time frame had just got bumped up.
Yeah.
There's going to be some new stuff, but this year probably a lot of tents.
A lot of tents, absolutely.
Just in discussions and just general discussions with people. People, it's going to be really nice.
Everything goes according to Hoyle.
It will be impressive. Not nice. It will be impressive.
Absolutely. I mean.
And I've always thought that Hardin County had one of the best fairs around or in the state.
Amen.
And Steve, you've been to a lot of fairs, pulling your trucks and whatnot to communities and towns that have way more money than Kenton does or Hardin County does, and not have half of a nice fairgrounds or offerings that we do here in Hardin County. So personally, I think we just have a superb fair, and it's just going to get better.
It is. It's going to. And we just need a little time here to get everything put together before we can
There will be a fair this year.
Absolutely.
It'll be a little bit different.
Might be some tents instead of buildings, but, no big deal.
We'll get through it.
We'll make it.
There will be a fair.
Absolutely.
And just in case anyone's inquiring, there will be Rotary ice cream, too.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Hey, it's the best deal on the fairgrounds.
Agreed.
Especially if I'm dipping, because you better say whoa, or it's going to be stacked up there where I can't put any more on it.
Best ice cream ever.
You want ice cream, I'm going to make sure that you get plenty of brain freeze.
That's right. Huge shout out to the fair trustees and all the people on the fair board. They've been putting a lot of work in.
They have busted their butts to get that place cleaned up. And Roger Crates come in the next day and was ready to go and tore down, cleaned up ground. And the fair board was in there helping. A couple local contractors got on the roofs, got them fixed. Yeah, no, kudos to all the fair board and everybody out there, man. They did a whale job. Yes, they did.
Yep, fantastic. So, Steve, that's all I got for today.
Kurt,
you got something else on?
I don't
weight on your mind.
You know, I don't have much of a mind, so there's not much there left anymore. So I'm just gonna have to
one too many gummies.
About a half.
One not enough gummies?
Oh, one's way too many. Half is enough.
Half is plenty?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
This podcast just went sideways again.
Well, it's, so it's anyway, just one of those podcasts that
just remember that, Kurt. I told you so, buddy.
Hey, and I'm just saying. See you next time, Steve.
See you, Kurt.